The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60 and 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then when trouble and persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Good morning, children. How are you? It's nice to see you today. Hi, Gloria. Good to have you here today. Nice to see you, honey. Hi, Kane. Nice to have you back with us. And Wilma, great to see you. Great to see you. How are y'all? Oh, Kane, I see you have a shoe that's untied. Let's maybe get that fixed before you trip, step on it, and trip and fall. We don't want you to hurt yourself. There you go. All right. How come you guys are so quiet today? You must be tired from playing ball or camping or going swimming or something. What's up? Well, you're just so quiet today. Well, again, thanks for coming up, and thank you for coming up today. I have a little something to show you today, and it's a plant. And I brought it today because Jesus is talking about planting things. He tells us about a sower, one who went out to sow seeds into a field. And he says that some of the seed fell on the path. It was very hard. And it was just no place for a seed to grow. So the birds came, ate it up, and it was gone. And then he tells us about some seed that fell on rocky soil. And he said it was so rocky it didn't have any roots. And these are the roots of a plant. See those, Gloria? These are the roots of the plant down here. And he said it didn't have much roots, so it, when it got dry, it withered away. And then he told us about some seed that fell on
The third one was that it fell in among the thorns, and it got choked out. It grew, and it had roots, but it got choked out. And then the fourth kind of soil that the seed fell in was good soil, and that soil brought forth amazing, amazing harvests. So I want to show you something this morning. This is out at my place this spring. I planted some buckwheat. Now, some people think of buckwheat as a weed itself, but you see the little flowers there? Oh, you see those flowers, buddy? Yeah, there you go. Wilma, you see that? Yeah, there you go. Yep. Little flowers, and you know what likes to use those little flowers? Can you see that, Gloria? Bees, honeybees like to use get nectar and pollen from these little buckwheat flowers. So that's why I planted them. I planted them for my bees, and most of them are doing pretty good. But I was out there the other day pulling some ragweeds and stuff, and I found this. It's a vine. Do you see this vine? Can you guys see that? I've got, this is the buckwheat stalk here. There are actually two of them. One's pretty tiny. It's only this big, and they're kind of wilted now. And the other one was doing pretty good, but look here. So the vine starts, there's two different vines here, different root systems, and they both come up onto these plants and have started to strangle them. See how they're wrapped around that plant? You see that? Yeah, you see that, don't you? Yes, I see that, Pastor. So if I were going to pull this weed, in fact I did, when I pulled this weed, it broke the stem of the good plant right here. See that? Jesus says that some of this goes with next week's lesson too, so I'll talk about that next week. But Jesus tells us that he wants our lives, our hearts, to be like good soil, so that when God's word is planted into our hearts, good things will come from us. Good things like love and forgiveness, things like blessings to others, things like care and concern for other people. Does that make sense to you, Gloria? Yes, it does. This is a yes, yes. This is no. Does that make sense to you? Yes, yes. So, and to you, Cain, makes sense? Yeah, okay. Well, he wants your heart to be good soil. Well, how do you make your heart good soil? There's only one way to do that, and that's to invite Jesus into your heart, and that invite Jesus to cultivate and care for your life in a way that makes you receptive to God's seed, to God's word, so that word can grow in you and change who you are from being a sinner to being one who looks more and more like Jesus. Now, we're never going to be perfect, and I don't want you to strive to be perfect, and neither does Jesus. But Jesus does want us to strive to be more like him, and to live in ways of love and forgiveness and care for others and the world around us. So, again, I just wanted you to see this vine, this weed vine, how it's choking out and not letting this plant grow and fulfill its purpose of feeding bees, and it actually enriches the soil too. There's some nitrogen nodes down here that feed the soil and make it better. So thanks for coming up today, and thanks for thinking about how Jesus can make your heart more like good soil. 'Cause sin wants to choke out whatever love and goodness is in your heart. Sin wants to separate you from other people. It wants to instead of letting you shine, it wants to make you dull and uninteresting to others, so that they don't see Jesus living in you. So it's like this vine that wants to choke this plant. Sin wants to choke us, and stop us from being what God wants us to be and what He's created us to be. And that goes for you too, those of you who are watching online. We are like this buckwheat. We are made to care for others and the planet, and to feed others and to bless them, to be nectar and pollen for the world. And we do that not of our own goodness, but of God's. God puts that in us to share with others. You all are very bright-eyed this morning. I hope you're bright-eyed this morning. Next time, come. Kane, you were so talkative last time you were here. This time you haven't had much of anything to say. But great to have you with us today, and let's pray. Oh, you know what? I have a special prayer to give to you this morning. It says, "Dear Jesus, I am a garden. You are the gardener. Tend my soil. Sow your seed in me. Let it grow, bear fruit, and yield goodness for you and those who come to visit my garden life. From your seed sown in me, grant me new understanding daily to resist the evil one. Give me roots that grow deep, anchoring me in you to revitalize my life. Give me wisdom to know that the cares and treasures of this world compare nothing to the joys and riches of your kingdom, which is eternally mine. For you are my gardener, Jesus, and my garden lies within the borders of your estate. Amen." Thanks for coming up today, you guys. Have a wonderful week.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our trek through Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 13 today, we find ourselves faced with another one of Jesus' five great speeches in Matthew's Gospel. The first great speech is the Sermon on the Mount that you can find in chapters 5 and through 7. And the second speech is in chapter 10, a speech that I summarized a few weeks ago as Scars. It is a speech in which Jesus teaches his disciples that they will get scars in life. They will get scars from doing evil and from fighting, and they will get scars from doing good and loving. So then Jesus encourages them to follow him in a life of love, mercy, and grace, and to let his scars be our scars and our scars be his. In chapter 13, the great speech is Jesus teaching in parables. We're told that he teaches in parables in order to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God and in order to keep them hidden from those who are powerful and self-righteous, those who are opposed to God and to God's will, God's justice in this world, but to be revealed to those who are vulnerable, forgotten, the lost sheep, we're told. So the first parable in this speech that Jesus is giving in chapter 13 is the parable of the sower. But before we jump right into that parable of the sower, it's important to pay attention to the details of how this chapter opens. In chapter 13, verse 1, we're told that that same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the crowds stood on the beach. This seems like a very insignificant detail in the life of Jesus, but we're told that that same day he went out. He went out of the house. Again, it's a minute detail. And we might ask ourselves, well, who cares? Who really cares? But it's then that Jesus tells the people a parable about a sower who went out to sow. Yes, it's the same verb, exerkomai. And it is a clue, I think. It's a clue to who the sower is. If you didn't catch it, the verb describing the primary activity of the sower, went out, is the same verb that describes Jesus when he went out of the house.
He went out, he ex-erkomaid, to be with the people, to teach, to bless, to give life, to plant seeds, to transform. He went out to do this work. It's the work of God, really. It's the work of God who went out of God's own dominion and space into the garden that God had created, into that place where God had placed the human beings, Adam and Eve. He went out into the garden in the cool of the evening to be in communion with, to be in relationship with God's creation. God is a God who went out, who goes out, who continues to go out to be with, to build relationship and community with his beloved creation. It's the activity of God that we see so often. God went out with the people into the wilderness. God went out with them, and there they discovered a faithful God, a God who is trustworthy and true, a God who saw them through hard times and brought water from a rock, a God who brought quail from heaven, a God who brought manna from heaven, daily bread that they could eat and consume. God is a God who goes out. God is a God who went out, who goes out and continues to come out to us and to this world that struggles to live in communion with one another and with itself. Jesus went out, and the crowds gathered around him, and Jesus teaches them. He teaches them to bless them and to heal them. He teaches them if they are willing to listen. He teaches them and sows the seed of his word in their heart. Jesus teaches them and sows that seed in order to change their life, in order to change the way that they interact with the world around them. Jesus sows God's word into the soil of the lives of the crowd who has gathered around him. Jesus is the sower. God's word is the seed of life. According to this parable, there are opponents to that seed. There are obstacles to its power. There are powers that do not want people's lives changed. There are powers that do not want people's lives reoriented or changed, that they might follow God's word and God's will rather than that of the self, the sinner. There are powers that stand in opposition to the seed. The seed on the path, we're told, was eaten up. And we're told that it was a devil who comes and steals that seed away, that steals that hope and the promise of life and transformation and reorientation away. The seed on the rocky soil, we're told, withered away. It had no root and could not get nourishment in the heat of the day. We too may be lacking for nourishment these days. We too who have not been able to come to the table of the Lord for weeks and even months now, we too may be lacking. We may be hungry for God's food at God's table. And so we pray that God will nourish us in new ways, that God will nourish us through the water in the gushing from the rock, from manna from heaven, from unexpected places. We pray that God will nourish us. The seed among thorns was choked to death. It was choked by the cares of the world or the heart's desire to have more and more and more. All three scenarios mean death to the power of the seed. This at first seems to be a discouraging and distressing parable. Three out of four seeds are destroyed and kept from reaching their potential. But it's only a distressing and a discouraging parable until we hear that one seed can bring forth a harvest, a yield of 100 or 60 or 30-fold. It's not until the seed is sown in good soil that we see its power and its potential. The power and potential of the seed to bring life, to bring abundance, to bring renewal and blessing. 3 out of 4 seeds might die. But if one seed multiplies 160 or 30-fold, that means there is more seed. There is more sowing. There is more fruit bearing. And the yield, a yield fit for a king. This is God's mission, friends. This is God's mission to send his seed into the world, to send his son into the world, to scatter blessing and hope on the people, to grow a people who produce, a people who hope, a people who seek God's justice and mercy and enact that justice and mercy for the world, who live their lives by grace, and who offer that grace to others. This is God's mission for the world, a God who went out, a God who goes out, and a God who continues to come out to meet us in the struggles that we face, in the burdens that we bear, in the heat of the day to nourish us, in those moments where life threatens to choke out our hope. In those times, we have a God who comes out to meet us. This is God's hope for the church as well. It is God's hope and purpose for the church, for our congregation, for our youth ministry program, and for our new adventure with Bethany Lutheran in Thompson, Iowa, and for our youth missionary position that we've newly hired. We are poised to go out, my friends. We're poised to go out and to spread God's word and to proclaim hope. We are poised. We are reoriented for the work that is ahead of us, for the work that God is laying at our feet to carry out, to bring hope and promise to the world, to reveal God's goodness and blessing and God's transforming power, that all might come to Him, that all might surrender the selfishness that we are so prone to because of sin and be recreated, reborn in the image of God, who is always about giving of the self for the blessing of the other. In the next 8 to 10 days, Anne Hunhoff will be moving to Forest City to begin her role as youth ministry and missionary. She'll become part of our team. She'll coordinate with parents and grandparents, with mentors, with disciples and volunteers, with ecumenical partners and community leaders, who together will make a concerted effort to sow the seed of blessing of God into this world that God loves, who will make a concerted effort to continue to build community in Jesus' name and likeness, to make connections, to help our youth make connections, to help us connect more fully as intergenerational people, and to bear fruit for the kingdom. She will not do this by herself, but she will do this in partnership with us, with those of us who are committed to God's purpose and God's effort in this world of sowing the seed and bringing hope and transformation to people's lives. We do this to be faithful, but we also do this as a church so that through that faithfulness, the church will continue generation after generation to raise up children of God who know what it means to live and to grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. This is not only God's hope for the church, but it's God's hope for your life. Moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, brothers and sisters, church members, workers who go to the daily grind day after day, blue-collar and white-collar workers alike, skilled and unskilled workers alike. This is God's purpose and hope for your and my life as well. to be people who are transformed, to be people who are reoriented, to be people who seek God's justice and God's peace, who seek to pour out God's blessing, mercy, and grace upon the world around us. You can do this right where you live, right where you work, right where you study. You can do this online or on the phone. You can do this in so many creative and so many diverse ways that God's life and blessing, God's seed will continue to be sown into this world where love can abide, where love will win, where love will be victorious through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the sower. He teaches you and me. He models for you and me the way of life that we are called to walk in Him. Jesus is not only the sower, but He is the seed. He is the Word of God. He is the life-giving Word of God sown into your hearts and mine. Jesus is the one who enriches the soil of our life so that a harvest of faithfulness may come. Jesus is the sower. He is the seed, and He is the one who enriches the soil of our lives. A seed as precious as this, you'd think that God would be more careful with. But from His conception, from the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, that seed was born to die. That seed was born to die so that a harvest might come forth, that new seed might be produced and it might be scattered across this land, across this world, into your heart and mine, not just once, but over and over again. The seed of God is going forth because Jesus Christ was born to die. The seed of God was born to die so that new seed might live and flourish and bring forth that victory that is Jesus, that belongs to Jesus Christ, a victory that is shared with all who belong to Him. You see, here's the thing, friends. All seed must die. But those eaten up by Satan and those that wither because of the lack of a root, or those that are choked by the worries and greed, they never produce anything. But those that fall into the good soil enriched by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, those seeds, they also die. But they bring forth a harvest that is multiplied, a harvest that is rescattered and regrown and reproduced. Jesus willingly fell into the earth and died to enrich the soil of your life and mine. If this is good news to you, my friend, if this is the kind of kingdom that you want to be a part of, an eternal, everlasting, life-giving, a just, merciful, and graceful kingdom, then you're in the right place. You are in the right place that your heart and your life might be transformed, might be enriched and nourished so that the soil of your life might bring forth a harvest fit for a king. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we heard this morning as well. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. That seed has been planted in you, my friends. Let Jesus nourish it. Let Him enrich it. Let Him feed you. Let Him nourish you and sustain you day by day. And day by day, a harvest will come forth. A harvest from your life that brings hope and blessing to the world around you, and that brings glory to God. Amen.